Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
This morning, I'm pleased to introduce our speaker. Delaine Blackwell earned her BA from Furman University in Psychology and Education. She did that with honors. She then went on to earn her MED from the University of South Carolina with honors. She also completed her postgraduate studies at University of Tennessee in special education and at Columbia International University in biblical studies. Would you help me welcome our speaker, Delaine Blackwell?
Thank you so much. I'm a little nervous this morning and excited. I called my friend who prays for me, and I told him, please pray. I'm really nervous about speaking to all of these graduates at CIU. And he gave me some great advice from the Hollywood cowboy, John Wayne. Does anybody know him in this room? Have you heard of him? Well, this is what he said. Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. So that's what I'm doing here, just to say a few words to you. And scripture always calms my heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not snuffed it out or overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For from the fullness, His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. You are here by grace, and we're going to honor the God of grace who gives us, as Tyler sang for us, mercies every morning, new mercies. So I'm here to celebrate with you. I am thrilled when I heard that after the cancellation of the graduation in May, that you said, we want to get together, and you're here for this joyous celebration. I have come to many celebrations of graduations as a trustee of Columbia International University for about 18 years. And I am very, very honored to be here, even though I'm looking at masked men and women, and graduates are scattered rather than sitting right here in your robes. We're in the midst, on August 15th, 2020, of a global COVID pandemic to celebrate Jesus, the light of the world. I just read what John wrote about Him, and I'm honored by the invitation. Thank you, Dr. Smith, Dr. Lamper, Dr. Jones, distinguished faculty, the Board of Trustees, former presidents, all who are part of the decision to give me this invitation. And I trust that the Lord will speak to all of you in this room, families and friends who are here supporting graduates. But I'm asking Him particularly to give graduates, you graduates, a takeaway, a personal takeaway. And I'm saying that with this assumption that you came to CIU in the beginning because you wanted God to make your life count for His kingdom. And the second assumption I'm making is that no one ever remembers a word that is said at their graduation. So I want you to listen closely while I talk with you for just a little bit about the things that God has put on my heart today. I remember as I thought back the very first time I heard of Columbia International University, the Bible College and Seminary. My son, Chris, who's sitting over here today, was almost 1 year old, and he was in his little bouncy seat in the kitchen when I was listening to a new radio station signing on the air on the campus of Columbia International University. It would be called WMHK, We Make Him Known. The call numbers on the FM station, 89.7. And when I began to listen to the programming and the music of that radio station, I fell in love with this school. And God began to open doors for me to be involved in many ways. So I sat as a student listening to Buck Hatch teach about things like parenting and marriage. I stood with Dr. Terry Hulbert along with other students and my husband in the synagogue at Capernaum in Israel, surrounded by other CIU students. Dr. Beyer taught us the Great Commission as we stood on the Arbel Cliff looking out over the Sea of Galilee, or along with students and Dr. George Murray standing in the Colosseum in Rome. But the one I remember most was that hot summer day. I was there with a group of CIU students hiking down the road to Jericho when it was about 110 degrees. I remember speaking in chapel, representing the school to the students in the prison initiatives here in Columbia, and sitting at the board table with board members like me. But one thing was common in all of these experiences. I could see the light of Christ in every one of these people I've just mentioned here today. The darkness will not overcome the light of Christ. As God sends you out today, that is a truth you will remember. Things are changing so fast, so rapidly in this world. I was just pondering that this week, and I thought about one of the biggest changes in my life. There is someone that lives in my house who's an expert on everything. And honey, it's not you, I'm sorry to say. So, if this expert is in my kitchen, my bathroom, my family room, and if I need an answer to a question, I just ask my expert. So if I want a recipe for lasagna, I don't pick up the phone or text my sister. I say, Alexa, what is your favorite lasagna recipe? Well, it kind of sobered me when I thought I'm in trouble if I'm looking to Alexa to be my expert on everything. I believe if he were living today, the great stalwart leader, Dr. Robertson McQuilkin, would tell us how we live in an ever-changing world and what our role is in that. He would say, perhaps, God did not call us, in fact, this is a quote from him, to be agents of change, but messengers of change. We often see agents of change rioting in the streets, but the hearts of CIU students have been imprinted with a message and a mission to seek to further the kingdom of God in the midst of strife. So this morning, for just a few minutes, if you'll just settle back, I want to tell you some of the key things that CIU values as she has equipped you and your professors have taught you to make a difference, to make your life count for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Now, my plan was to give you a little test when I called out the core values. And then when I got here this morning, I thought, oh, they have a cheat sheet right up here. There they are. Aren't they beautiful? So here they are. Let's prayer and faith. Victorious Christian living. Authority. World evangelization. And evangelical unity. We all have a personal value system. And others will know what you value, not by what you tell them you value, but how you live your life, how you invest your time or spend your time. So I have just a few personal connections, a couple of them, with these values of CIU, and I will share them with you in just about 15 minutes. We'll be finished. First is the distinction of prayer and faith. From CIU's beginning, prayer has been foundational, not supplemental. If you read any book about the history of CIU, and there's a short history in your program, you're going to find what they mentioned first, this group of praying women. And these women were inspired by Emily Dick, who believed that God was going to put a Bible school in Columbia. There is a group of women who continue to pray regularly. Some of them are here today. It was Emily who threw her life into taking the good news of Jesus Christ to the workers in the mill towns, the textile mill communities around Columbia. While visiting Moody Institute, it was called then, in Chicago, she saw the kind of Bible training that she felt would be useful to the new converts in the mill village. Arthur Matthew, in his book, Towers Pointing Upward, writes about an event that happened with Emily. She was in prayer and believing faith when she had the insight, a flash of inspiration. We must have a Bible school in Columbia. The next morning, she runs into the kitchen to tell her sister what she had felt in prayer that day. And her sister began to tell about a vivid dream she had just had about a Bible school. God was on the move through prayer and faith. And he would soon call Robert C. McQuilkin to be the first president of his Bible school that he was building, that God was building, and would begin in 1923. We're almost at 100 years. Another time I will tell you about how the boat had to sink to open up the opportunity for McQuilkin to accept the position to lead God's new work. If you want your life to count for the kingdom, you will develop a praying life, a daily, deliberate, praying life will be the core of who you are, and you will train your children in that way. Prayer is the greater work, Ian Bounds said, and then you live it out with obedient faith. The second distinctive, victorious Christian living. So graduates, you know this. Victory will only come as you allow the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you to accomplish God's preordained work for you in your life. The indwelling Christ will persistently enable you to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Johnny Miller was the president when I became a trustee here, and his definition of victorious Christian living is simple and profound. It is a life lived in God's power instead of your own. The distinctive of the authority of Scripture. This is the truth that is captured in the first part of our motto, to know Him. I expect that everyone in this room, if you are a student of CIU, and probably most everyone else, have dealt with the fundamental questions that theologians and philosophers have grappled with throughout history. The three presuppositions that inform every decision you make. How did I get here? What am I doing here? And where do I go from here? Whether in an online class or on the campus, you have turned to God to answer these questions for you. CIU and your professors have encouraged you to set apart Jesus Christ as Lord and be able to give a reason for the hope that is within you and to do it with gentleness and respect, Peter writes. We can't be silent. The world may scoff at those who place, and it does. If we place our lives under the authority of Scripture, the world will scoff at us and maybe hate us. But it is a key truth. These are biblical truths, the values of CIU, which brings me to a personal connection. This is the little black book that changed my life. My mother and daddy taught me from their big black book as I was learning to read my little black book. Now, I don't remember who gave it to me or exactly when I received this gift, this treasure. But it was probably, if I look at the margins in my handwriting, I was learning to read about 6 years old when the Lord actually saved me. And this little black book has become a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. At some point, God gave me a life verse. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing for today. I hadn't looked at this little black book. I have another Bible, of course, now. I thought, I'm going to look. And when I pulled down my little black book, a page fell out of it. This page just fell right out of it. And when I looked, I thought, there is my life verse that God had given to me. I didn't know. I hadn't seen it in my little black book. And here it is. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then I read the context and God kindled afresh, stirred up in me, and renewed my fire. So stay in the Word. You may be one verse away from a great truth God wants to share with you. Now let me make the connection with my little black book to a CIU black book. I was reading in Robert C. McQuilkin's sister's book, which she wrote about him, and it's called Always in Triumph. She writes about her brother's little black notebook, where he took notes from sermons and journaled about what he said, the sacred and intense working of the Spirit of God. And at the end of a missions conference, he had written this entry into his little black book. Quote, I have received the blessing I have been hungering for years. And then he dated it. Do you know what day he wrote that on? August 15, 1911, before he was ever president of CIU. His sister Marguerite wrote, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day forward. I wonder today if we could ask the Lord to do the same thing today on August the 15th that he did for Robert C. McQuilkin. The fourth distinction, world evangelization. What is evangelization? Four words, to make him known. We don't save, we make him known. Let me go back to just a minute to the Mill Village where Emily Dick taught the Word of God. So back at the turn of the century, in the late 1980s and on into the, I'm sorry, in the 1800s, forgive me, into the early 1900s, the entrepreneurs from other places came to the South to make some money. And so they built factories, and most of them were for taking cotton and making it into fabrics and cloth. And many of them would also just build row houses single family dwellings, row and rows of them. In the village, the workers lived there and could walk to the mill. Many of them, of course, at that time not driving. One day, while looking over the results and the reports of his mills, the vice president of the entire mill chain, H.C. Dresser, noticed that one mill in Columbia, South Carolina, was different from all of his other mills. What was it that made this mill different? Why at that mill were the workers more dependable and more deliberate? There were less profanity and fewer fights and less absenteeism. So Dresser said, I've got to go see for myself. And so he did. And when he got there into Columbia, he said to the supervisor, what makes this mill different? And the supervisor said three words, Miss Emily Dick. So he invited Emily Dick to have Bible studies in all of his mills. 40 years about later, when I grew up in the Appalach Mill Village near Greer, South Carolina, there were churches, two churches, and a schoolhouse built by the mill owners. And my house in the Mill Village was right behind a vibrant Baptist church. And in that Baptist church were women who had hearts like Emily Dick, who loved God's word and wanted to teach it to Mill Village children like me and my brothers and sisters, six of us. I believe that in some way, I grew up in the shadow of Emily Dick, and that I am here today participating in making him known in a school whose roots are also in the Mill Village. I don't know where God's going to take you, but I know for sure his intention is for you to know him and to make him known so that he will cause your life to count for his kingdom. The final distinctive evangelical unity. What does that mean? Well, without any compromise of the essentials of the gospel or the truth of God's word, Columbia International University graduates are trained to reach across the table, to study the Bible, to fellowship, and engage in gospel ministry with others regardless of denomination or theological affinity. That doesn't mean that if there's a page in this I don't like or agree with, I can just tear it out and we'll all agree to be happy. I'm okay, you're okay. That's not what evangelical unity means. The ministries I'm a part of, Community Bible Study, that reaches women and children across the Midlands, which we began in 2000. It's an international ministry, started with 25 women, and now we have grown to reach 400 women and over 100 children, weekly in-depth Bible study. And I remember one of those women came to me and came to Bible study, a member of a church, thinking she was a Christian, and then we studied the Gospel of John. She never had heard of being born again. And she received Christ and became a leader. And one day I said to her, I'm going to have to say some really hard things to the women today from the Word of God. Some will be very offended. And she looked at me straight in the eyes and said, Delaine, teach them all of the Bible. If you don't tell them, who will? That's my charge to those in this room today. And then the Joy of Abiding Ministry, again, looking at the whole principle of evangelical unity, where we do women's conferences here and around the world, and we take study tours in Israel with this idea of, yes, a local church, but yes, reaching across the table. So as we're following the Lord out today, remember the imagery that Paul used of that treasure being held in a jar of clay. Can you imagine yourself as a fragile, common pot holding the beautiful light of Christ that John described as we started the talk? I cannot fathom why God would choose to put a treasure in someone like me. But he did. If you went to the Book of the Shrine in the Israel Museum today, you would see some of those big old jars, and you would see the treasure. You would see fragments of scripture. Why would we choose to live in our own power when Paul writes that treasure in 2 Corinthians 4 is his power and his light? When we've got his power, graduates, you've got his power within you, why would we try to live it alone and make it in my power and make my imprint on the world? Not to be put on an immune museum to be admired, not to be hidden in a cave in Qumran, but to go with the gospel. Nothing is more thrilling. Let me close by opening up my Bible with a final verse. Another one from 2 Timothy, this time from the New American Standard instead of the King James. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure which has been entrusted to you. 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard it. Guard the treasure. Graduates, and you say, how do I guard it? May I suggest the 5 biblical core values from CIU? Take them and go. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. He knows where he's going to take you. And if you ever need to be reminded, or if you're watching this online, come visit this beautiful campus where you will see the 5 core values that never change, etched in stone. May I pray for you? Lord, take these who are ready to go. Send them. Use them. I wish I could go with them. I'm thankful that you will use them, that you will make their lives count for the advancement of the gospel. And Lord, we would ask you to move in yielded hearts on August the 15th, 2020, so that we would respond, I have received the blessing I have been hungering for years. In the powerful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I offer this prayer. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.